Robinhood bietet Ihnen Zugang zum US-Aktienmarkt. Sie können Krypto zu niedrigen Kosten kaufen und verkaufen. Alles an einem Ort. Auf Robinhood. Investment- und Kryptowertedienstleistungen für EU-Kunden werden von der Robinhood Europe UAB angeboten, die von der Zentralbank Litauens als Finanzmakler und Kryptowertedienstleister zugelassen ist und deren Aufsicht unterliegt. Termingeschäfte auf US-Aktien und ETF-Token bergen ein erhebliches Risiko und sind nicht für alle Anleger geeignet. Bitte überlegen Sie sich sorgfältig, ob Investments in derartige Finanzinstrumente mit Blick auf Ihre Erfahrung, Risikotoleranz und Finanzlage für Sie geeignet sind. Beachten Sie die geltenden Beschränkungen und Zulassungsvoraussetzungen.
All right, let's do this. How are you, what the fuckers, what the fuck buddies, what the fucking ears, what the fucksters, what the fuckadelics? I am Mark Maron. This is my podcast, WTF. I'm a little, my brain is not quite, I don't know why, but it's not working right. I don't know why. I can't answer that question. Welcome to the show. I am on the road. I am away. I am in a, I'll tell you where I am. I don't know if I can tell you what I'm doing, but I'm in Birmingham, Alabama. Birmingham, Alabama. It doesn't always bring up good memories. Rarely, historically, not a great memory place. Today on the show, I talked to Melissa McCarthy. That was fun. She's fun. She's funny. Nice lady. She's a nice lady, that Melissa McCarthy. So back to Birmingham. You know, the ghosts of the past of this city are around, and you can choose to fester on whatever you're going to fester on. But it always feels heavy for me. I'm not indicting anybody currently, but the South's history is heavy, and I'm going to hopefully get around and see some stuff. I'm here doing a project. I'm going to be here a while. A little while. I mean, I'm not going to live here, but it was long enough for me to go out yesterday. I went out to the Birmingham Whole Foods. So that's here. That's good. That's, you know. It's not primitive here. It seems very pleasant. I've been here a day, but I went out and I stocked up for a few days, which is a good thing to do. Unfortunately, I got back to my room and it seemed to be like almost a challenge to myself that I eat everything that I bought for a few days. And I got pretty good into it, pretty well into it, pretty far along. And that includes a box of puffins and some packets of almond butter. I bought almond butter packets, portion control. There's no lockbox on those bad boys. You know what I'm saying? I got four of them. I've eaten three, but I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to explore. I'm thinking about, I have a day off today, and I believe I'm going down to bear witness and to take in the new Peace and Justice Memorial with the very powerful and disturbing lynching monument. I want to go see that because I don't know how often or when I'll be back down here again, and I want to go, you know, take that in. I want to learn something. I want to feel something. I want to see something put together in remembrance of something horrible. I don't always want to do that. I guess there. You know, why would you? But it's important that you do. I mean, I know some of you listen to the show pretty regularly, and I did avoid Holocaust memorials of different sorts when I was in Europe. Particularly Amsterdam, I made that choice to ride a boat and look around and at the pretty things and learn a little bit about things, a little bit, on a boat, just drifting through the city. And I think that's how a lot of us drift through life. You know, we know there's bad stuff, but man, let's just keep the boat moving. There's only so much I can do from here on my boat, so I'm gonna stay on the boat. Maybe do a little fishing, maybe take a nap, maybe see the sights, but just stay adrift. Sometimes you got to engage. I'm going to engage. I want to learn. I want to feel. That's a new thing. I always do. I always want to feel. I don't always want to learn. I did get some interesting email. I got one really poetic and I thought very concise email that made me feel. It was a nice punch in the head. Just the subject line just says fan, and the copy is, I think you're a pretty impressive comedian. You make me laugh about the things that make you sad without glorifying them, and you make me think about the things that make me sad without forcing me to feel them. That's it. That's the email. Very succinct,
very to the point. But I think that's the best I can do on some level. You know, help it. You know, I don't want people, you know, if they're adrift and they're doing okay, and, you know, I don't have to sink their boat with my problems, and I can at least have some distance from them, enough to discuss them in a way that doesn't, you know, break down their ability to maintain their own shit and hold that together. That's entertainment, right? Oh, I wanted to pick up a little business. I don't know if I brought it up last time, but a lot of people, when I talked about Ben and Jerry's for some reason and brought up the flavor thing, got a lot of suggestions for the flavor. What the fudge obviously seems to be the flavor. I do not think that that's going to happen. I also want to thank a lot of the people that got back to me with suggestions and ideas for traveling and alleviating my colonic fear, or whatever it is, that apparently it's a common problem that people can't shit on the road or when they're traveling a lot. And thank you for all those suggestions. I'm not going to share them, but they were there, and I appreciate your support. Also, thank you for the support around my cat, LaFonda, who is better. I did have to, you know, I was only home for a week. I got her taken care of, and now the fella staying at my house is dealing with it. But I think it's weird when cats get old, and I guess that when you have cats and you leave for a little while, even if it's for a week or two, I don't think they process the idea, oh, he's packing, he'll be back. I think once you're out, you're out, and they're alone, and they stress out, you know, much like maybe emotionally, like, or not even emotionally, like a child whose parents just, without saying anything, disappear and then just reappear 2 weeks later. But they're getting a little old for that. But I don't know that I really can completely build my life and honor my cat's anxiety, in the sense that I do have to go out and live a life. I can't just... It would be weird if I just quit doing all my traveling and all my gigs in other places because I didn't want my cats to be stressed out. It's not beyond me. Certainly sometimes I could use an excuse not to go places, but I'm not going to do that. But thank you for the suggestions around LaFonda's health in terms of maybe getting a vet that comes to the house. That's a good idea. Now I'm sweating. It's humid down here, man. It's like Friday, the first day of work. It's going to be 90. So I can't tell you anything about what I'm doing, really. But I can say that we're going to have to write in pit stains and profuse sweating, constant sweating. That's something I'm going to have to add to the character, that, you know, that I'm sweating. Yeah. Now I told you a few things. I think you're probably you know, putting something together. That's fine. Melissa McCarthy has a new movie out, which I watched. It's called Life of the Party. It opens in theaters tomorrow, May 11th. She wrote it with her husband, and he directed it. And we talk a little bit about that. And we talk about, I talk to her like I talk to people. This is me and Melissa McCarthy back in the New Girl.
Robinhood bietet Ihnen Zugang zum US-Aktienmarkt. Sie können Krypto zu niedrigen Kosten kaufen und verkaufen. Alles an einem Ort. Auf Robinhood. Investment- und Kryptowertedienstleistungen für EU-Kunden werden von der Robinhood Europe UAB angeboten, die von der Zentralbank Litauens als Finanzmakler und Kryptowertedienstleister zugelassen ist und deren Aufsicht unterliegt. Termingeschäfte auf US-Aktien und ETF-Token bergen ein erhebliches Risiko und sind nicht für alle Anleger geeignet. Bitte überlegen Sie sich sorgfältig, ob Investments in derartige Finanzinstrumente mit Blick auf Ihre Erfahrung, Risikotoleranz und Finanzlage für Sie geeignet sind. Beachten Sie die geltenden Beschränkungen und Zulassungsvoraussetzungen.
Raj. How do you sound to yourself? Yeah. Can you hear it?
Oh,
you can
super,
move that mic. Is that uncomfortable?
Super Midwestern. Super there. Oh, nasal.
Yeah. Nasal? No, you don't.
I hear my own voice,
you think it's nasal?
Yeah, I always think it sounds like we go to the bar.
Oh.
Go to the bar and make our.
I don't hear it. Why don't I hear it?
Sometimes I do.
Yeah.
Really? Because I've had other people be like, oh, Chicago, huh?
Chicago, yeah.
I'm like, yes. They're like, oh, I know, I can hear it.
You can. Well, yeah, I guess I can hear it a little bit now that you mention it. Wow. You just did Ellen?
I just did Ellen.
Did she dance or anything? What happened?
She didn't dance. I danced.
You
I came out in a. I did come out in a suit.
Yeah.
That when you zip it all the way up,
yeah,
it has a picture of her likeness on it, because I thought that would appropriately freak her out.
And you orchestrated that whole thing?
Yeah.
It was
weirdly,
your idea?
I was like, that seems, oh yeah, she was like, what are you wearing, and is why is that available? And I'm like, I had it made. Nothing weird there. Like, so, I mean, it's like I couldn't, then I was like, why did I have it made? Because it just made me laugh, because I thought she'd be like,
and who made it for you? Where do you go?
There's a company. I mean, the suit is very thick. It's like wearing like 16 trash bags, but it was worth it. And you can get anybody's picture put on it. So you zip up this onesie in front of your face, and it goes all the way to the peak of the hood.
And your face is covered?
But you can like kind of see out of it. Their face is there. Somebody, one of our like guest writers when we were shooting our movie, got one made of Ben.
Oh yeah.
And it was so freaky. And it was also like 104 degree day, and he was like, I'm passing out. I'm definitely passing out. And I was like, well, you were wearing like old syringes. Like whatever this is made out of is like, it's all toxic. It's crazy. So,
but it's worth it though, because it was so funny.
It's worth it because it's so, and you kind of look distorted. You certainly, it's like the Jacob's Ladder version of whose ever picture it is. So it's not flattering, but I thought it was like the funniest thing I'd ever seen.
And it played well. Everybody got a big kick out of it.
Yeah, and then we kept telling, at least for Mac, we kept telling him, zip it up. If you're going to do it, do it. And he's like, I'm definitely going to vomit. I'm definitely going to vomit.
Where did you shoot that thing?
We shot it in Atlanta.
Oh, so and during the summer?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So it's, you know.
Yeah.
It's like pure humidity. And I don't know, something about Atlanta, if I'm in LA and it goes below, if it gets warmer than like 68, I'm like, this is crazy. Yeah. And in Atlanta, it's like 170. It's pure humidity. Yeah. And I don't know what happens to Ben and I, because we're like polar bears.
Yeah.
But something about Atlanta, we're like, no, we should probably go out on the porch and have a drink and listen to some jazz clarinet. And we do, literally every night we listen to, we become like old, like Southern
groovy
men.
Southern people?
Not groovy necessarily,
well,
just
you listen
super
to jazz.
Jazz clarinet.
Yeah.
Just for clarification.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So
that's what
specific.
The cool kids.
That's a clarinet. I guess it's like what, like ragtime Dixieland?
No, it's slower. It's always and I don't know if the humidity just messes with me, but I end up just being like, well, this is a wonderful evening.
Yeah.
And I go, and we fully get into it. Here, if it's like 71, I'm like, this is a horror show.
It's too hot?
Yeah. But something about, and I don't like humidity. I don't know what happens. Like,
I think I used to live in New York, and I lived in Boston, and I think you get high. I think you get exhausted. I think you have no liquid in your body.
It just breaks you.
It does, almost immediately. Like I used to notice that on the train in New York, everyone looks like they're taking a walk of shame. They're just like giving up. Like the entire train is just filled with people.
Of course, there's probably
people.
18 people per train that are, regardless of what time of day it is.
But they're just like, I got no energy. I can't. Like, drained.
And then all the guys in suits where you're like, I know what all that wool smells like.
I sweat. I don't know how.
I'm a sweater.
You too?
Yes.
Like immediately. I can't handle it. It's almost like you're just a fungal petri dish. Like I just waiting.
Do you sweat when you're nervous? Or,
no,
or
I used to.
Heat?
If I'm doing stand up and that feel like I had it once or twice recently, and I hadn't felt it in a while or identified it. Like for sometimes you go up, and even if you're nailing it pretty consistently, there's just one of those audiences that aren't gonna. And you know from doing it, there's nothing you're gonna do. That's
going
to change it.
Most likely, you're not going to turn it.
Right. And then, like, I just felt that weird sweat on the back of the neck, and my face is acting normal. The neck's getting wet.
That's when I'll lose my place. I mean, I haven't done it in 100 years, but that's when I would just be like, and then, shit.
I knew this morning. I knew it.
Yeah, I knew it. And I'm like, no, boy, nothing warms up an audience that already hates you. Like, just a big gap of
No, I've got my mouth is so dry.
And then you leave your body, and you're just like up there all alone, and you're looking at yourself.
I couldn't hack it.
You did that. You actually did that in the movie. You had a stage fright.
I did.
Extended.
An extended
worst case situation all the way over the top with
just
the stage
body
fright.
Body meltdown, yeah. Body meltdown, that's what's happening in my head more often. It doesn't fully react all over. I can hide it a little better, but sometimes I'm just like stuff just starts disconnecting in my brain. I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, really? You feel that?
Yeah, certain times.
On stage?
And it's weird. Right before I go out, sometimes.
Yeah. Like, you get like, oh, what am I going to?
I was like, what am I doing here? They're gonna know. I'm going to have to go back to Plainfield, Illinois. They're going to know.
They're going to know what?
And then, I don't know. I'm most always like, I'm a Shim Sham man. Yeah. Like, I think somebody's going to be like, get out of here.
We're on to you.
Yeah. I'm always waiting for somebody to be like,
nope. It's over.
No thanks. Pack up your things and go.
We see who you are. We
and I'd be
know.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah. I got it.
I was waiting for this. I was waiting for it. I'm glad I made a little money before this happened. But yeah, I don't. So the movie, like, I have a question. Because I'll be honest with you. I watched it. I got laughs. But I have a question about scripts, about writing scripts. Because you wrote it with your husband.
I did.
And how many drafts? What's the process with you guys? This is your third, fourth movie you wrote together?
This is the fourth.
Yeah.
We never stop writing it.
Like, it's always ongoing?
It's ongoing, because I think we get to the end of it, and we're like, yeah, I like that. And then we just kind of take a day or two, and then in looking at it and talking about it and thinking about, okay, where are you going to shoot it? How many days do we have? You end up being like,
producers.
Is this a repeat? Are we repeating? Can we get out of it? And he's really good with that. I always get like attached to everything. I'm like, oh, we should shoot it. And he's like, we have it in two places. Yeah. Let's make it one. So we're kind of always, I feel like we write and rewrite and rewrite and then get there on the day. And I'm like, I'm going to say all different shit.
Yeah.
And so it's like why we work there. I'm always like, I don't know. We get a version of what we've written.
Yeah.
But then kind of after like one or two times, it's like, I think it's more fun to like. Well,
just riff?
Yeah, within the context of the story.
Right. Well, my question was, all right, so I'm watching it and it's going along and it's, you know, the daughter and like it's Matt Walsh and it's funny, you know, I know the people in it and I'm enjoying the story. But like as soon, like I don't want to do spoilers, but it's not really a spoiler. But as soon as you like, when you meet your daughter in the hallway at the frat house, there was part of me that's sort of like, oh my, did that just happen? And then, is that okay? I found myself doing that. Like, is that okay?
Is it okay? I know. I had the same thought of it. I was like, ew, well, you know, she's why not her? Like, I had to go back and forth, be like, oh, I wish she hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
So I was like, I was torn myself of like, is this a horrible thing? But I was like, well, isn't the whole point that she's a person too?
Yeah.
And that was the underlying thing for me. It's like, you think, you know, you always think your parents are like only created up to a certain age.
Yeah.
Like, they were created so they could take care of me.
Right.
And then you hit a certain age and you're like, oh my God.
No, they're just people.
You had a life before I probably destroyed it.
Yeah, that I ruined.
Yeah. So it's like, it's kind of a lot playing on that.
Oh, that makes sense.
That it's like, well, why not her? They hit it off. And
right. And they are just people and they're people with desires and things.
Things.
Yeah, are your parents, are they still alive?
They are.
And are they married?
They're married. They're really funny and cute together. They like hold hands and they take morning walks. Like they're adorable. They're very funny. They actually have moved out. They're going to start doing winters in LA, which is like the greatest thing ever. Because I haven't lived in the same city since I was 18.
Oh, now and you've decided this is going to be the greatest thing ever?
It has been, like, they've been here for the last 4 months,
yeah.
And it's like crushing my soul that they're going back.
Really?
They're like, well, we'll see you next winter. I was like, oh. It's like, they're really funny. Like, they're up for anything.
How old are your kids?
My oldest is about to turn 11. My youngest is 8.
Oh, so it's great. To have a relationship with your grandparents.
They go over and like, they live like a minute and a half away.
Yeah.
And we've never had that where it's like, they're like, we're going to grandma and grandpa's. I'm like, oh my God, you can. Like, that's crazy. Like, they've never had that. They have sleepovers and.
Oh, because it used to be you'd have to send them there for like 2 weeks.
And well, we'd go there. It's a big trip. It's like a whole
thing. Where?
Illinois, Plainfield.
Oh, so they're still there.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're still there. So getting them out, I was like, why? Do you need to be in Chicago for another winter?
Why are they?
Well, they did. My dad was like, no.
But why don't they move out to permanent?
Well, my dad fishes a lot.
Oh.
And I think
the ice? Is he ice hole fisher?
He wants nothing to do with anything cold.
Oh.
But now that it's warmed up, he's like, he just went back last week for like two tournaments.
Yeah.
He's like,
Fly fishing?
No. Bass fishing in a boat. And he's like, I'm missing tournaments. I'm like, well, I don't have you shackled here. So he's like, he's out of his mind to get back there to go fishing.
Did you get him involved with like deep sea fishing? Don't they have that?
No, he doesn't like the ocean. He's like, I can't take the rolling tide. I was like, what?
Yeah. But he's not afraid of it.
No, it just makes him sick. But he was going out to like Castaic and Lake Pyramid Lake out here.
He just sits there and fishes?
Just fishes.
Do you
He'll go every day. No, I like to like lay in a boat and read.
Yeah.
And he's always like, you got to feel this jig. I'm like, can I just read? And he's like, you got to feel this jig. And then he wants you for like 3 hours. He's like, you feel that? Now just barely lift it.
I don't even know what a jig is.
Bring it up and let it down. And I do it like six times. I'm like, that's great. And I try to hand him the rod back. Yeah, and he's like, no, keep it up.
Because you're waiting to feel a fish?
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing?
Yeah, I'm waiting to get a bite. But I was like, I'm so happy like laying at the bottom of the boat reading.
How many kids are in the family?
It's myself and I have one older sister, 3 years older.
That's it?
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
I don't know. Terrible Irish Catholics.
I know. It's like
they've been thrown out of like both groups.
Yeah. Oh, really?
No. No.
Were you brought up like Catholic-y?
Yeah, 12 years of Catholic school.
No kidding.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
In Plainfield, Illinois. So,
how far is that from Chicago?
Like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
When I grew up, it was a small, really rural farm town. Now it's like a suburb, so it's kind of a bummer because It was like gravel roads. We lived on a farm.
You come from farmers?
My dad actually worked in the city.
Yeah.
But we lived on a farm.
Like a functioning farm?
Yeah. Corn and soybean.
Oh, so you guys owned the property and it was farmed?
The farmers that farmed the land actually owned it.
Yeah.
And we just rented it and lived there. And so we didn't do the farming.
Right. They just came and did it. And so that was your life, corn.
Corn and soybeans.
Yeah.
Don't forget the exciting world of soybeans.
Soybeans, yeah.
Which I didn't know you humans could eat until I went to New York. And I was like, wait, I've been surrounded by the... And I remember telling my parents, I was like, I went to a Japanese restaurant. You know, you can eat soybeans. They're like, what?
It's called edamame.
We had no idea. And now they love it. And they're like, isn't this a hoot?
Oh, they eat the edamame?
Yeah.
And that's great?
Yeah. Now we're
They make tofu out of it, soy milk. They do,
We didn't know. Growing up, we were
you didn't know what the point of soy was?
It was for feed for cattle.
Oh, yeah. I grew up in alfalfa.
Oh, really?
Kind of, yeah. In New Mexico. They grow the...
I didn't know that's where they grew alfalfa.
They grow it everywhere. They just feed animals the grass. I don't know. We had about an acre and we sat there and then someone came and cut the stuff and baled it and took it away. I don't think I've ever talked about that.
Was it a full farm or
was it just
a house?
It was a house on a field, but it was, there was enough of it. I can't remember how... It wasn't that much, but they'd run, there was a ditch in front and they'd irrigate this stuff. And maybe it was, I thought it was alfalfa. Maybe I'm wrong.
It probably was.
Yeah.
But that's like a full, when you have an irrigation system, you got to take the,
you know how that works?
No.
Oh, there was a ditch in front.
Right.
And they'd open up a gate from the subsidiary of the Rio Grande River and fill with water. And then you have these pipes that are curved and you'd sink them and get it filled with water and then pull them out over the edge of the ditch and run the water.
But you...
I did it once. I was not good at it. And then I thought I'd try to be a man. I tried that twice. One time I tried to burn some weeds and then we had to call the fire department.
Oh my God!
It just kept going. Yeah, there was a house next door that was in danger, and
did anybody say, "Hey, go out and burn something"? Or were you just
no?
Like,
I thought
I'll
like it was time.
This.
Yeah, I'm gonna. It seems like the thing to do, and it's a scary thing. Fire, you can't stop it.
Yeah, we had a burn. Well, I think about what we used to burn. It was screw you, Earth. Everything went in the burn pile.
Mm-hmm.
It was just
on
like,
the farm,
just burn it.
Yeah.
You just haul it out
and
to the front and you just burn it.
What was the practicality of that? I mean, did they have garbage? Like, there's someone behind my girlfriend's house in Highland Park. Mm-hmm. They're just burning stuff.
My dad still is like, I'll just burn it. And I'm like, Dad, you can't just put stuff in the backyard and burn it.
It's fun, though. I think that's the unspoken thing. It's a great time setting things on fire.
It is scary. I lit when I was little. I mean, probably like 10, like too old to be this dumb. But I remember lighting toilet paper on fire.
Yeah.
It was there.
Yeah, it's great.
And the whole, of course, the whole thing just caught up. And I remember just being like, oh, shit. Like, I had to, like, get water. I was like, what? And then immediately it was like, what do you think? Why?
Yeah.
They're going to ask me why I did it. And I don't have a single good answer other than, like, I wanted to see if it would burn. It's like dry, dry thin paper.
Sure.
There's a good chance it's going to burn.
It's exciting.
And I hid it all. They never knew.
Really? So, all right. So, how old's your sister?
She's 3 years older.
So, it's just 2 years.
She's 51. Yeah.
And what does she do? She in show business?
She lives in Highlands Ranch, Colorado. And
oh, that's nice. Sounds nice. I don't know anything about it.
It's a lovely suburb.
Highlands Ranch. Oh, okay.
Outside of Denver. She's very smart. She's lovely.
Yeah.
She's a very nice person. And every time I try to describe what she does, she's like, really? You still don't know? I'm like, you ghostwrite for doctor? She's like, I did that 20 years ago. I'm like, you are a communication specialist, which I never know exactly what that means. Yeah. She's like, yes, that's right. So she like writes for people and it's like marketing and I do a terrible, this is the same bad job I do every time I try to explain.
I don't understand how people find that kind of work, how they end up there.
I don't know.
I don't understand a lot of jobs.
I'm like, doing what? Yeah. What exactly do you do? And she's like, well, I write for other people. I'm like, but they're going to put their names on a book?
Yeah. It's a book?
Like, what?
Yeah. It's a book, though, she writes?
Well, she used to, for a while, she was ghostwriting for doctors, which I was like, but you're not a doctor.
Right.
She's like, well, no, I'm doing the writing part. I was like, I don't understand what's
happening. For bios or for, you don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like I've never
met. She's doing well.
She's doing well. She's great. Margie's great.
And she's great at her job. The writing, the communications job.
Yes. It's a community where she's communicating.
Yeah.
She's communicating verbally and with the typing computer.
So explain to me, because I'm always like, I'm not a religious person. I'm a Jew by origin.
Sure.
Yeah. And Catholics sort of fascinate me because so many people have a relationship with it. And did you stay Catholic?
No.
Oh. So
no,
you go through
not
the
at all.
So like you right from the beginning, you're going to a church, you're confessing.
Yep. Which I always remember like being in a confessional and especially when you're little, I was like, I don't know what I did.
So I'd be like, I burned toilet paper.
I never said that. I'll tell you what. No, I didn't go in there and be like, P.S. I burned a roll of toilet paper.
For no reason.
For no reason. I kept that one secret. But I remember just being like,
Yeah.
And you'd have that weird screen, which all I ever used to think about was like, can they see us more than we can see them?
But the guy, right?
Yeah, So you're sitting behind him. There's only two priests.
Right. So it's
and
one of
had
them.
A thick Romanian accent and the other one didn't. I was like, gee, I wonder who. It was so weird to me that first you went in the phone booth, but I was like, if someone's outside, they can just hear it. Like, we're not in a. This isn't like a soundproof room. We're in like an old wooden box with big gaps.
Yeah.
And then I'm sitting behind this like, a piece of cloth and I know who it is. Like, I could never kind of stop thinking about
why would you
all
tell that guy anything?
Yeah. So I just make stuff up. I was like, I didn't listen to my parents, like the most generic.
Yeah. And this went on through your whole life?
Yeah, pretty much.
Did the confessions
get
better?
Because by the time I was like, well, I'm not murdering people.
Yeah.
No. And now I wish I would have been like, I killed 3 people.
Just good to see what happened.
Yeah. Just wait to see if is he going to say something? Is he going to break his vows and rat me out? But I never did that.
I just
continued to say lame.
Yeah. So it was just something you had to do.
You had to do it. And then they give you penance. Yeah. And then you were supposed to go sit in a pew and say the penance. And I was like, I don't know. I just always had the thing. I was like, God doesn't care if I lied to my parents. I was like, I always was like, I think. Whatever I think God is like nicer than what they did.
Right.
It was always like, be afraid.
Did you think of hell? Did you believe in it?
I think I did then. I don't believe in it now.
Right.
And I always think, I feel like really religious people really have the lowest concept of what God is. I'm like, God just seems like a really angry drunk.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I think whoever, whatever it is probably like, so evolved, they don't really care about 99% of what we do. They'll just be like, well, you're all idiots. It's fine.
Yeah.
But the damnation and like, you'll burn. I was like,
you didn't buy it.
No, I was always like, really?
Yeah. But you had to wear the outfits and everything?
Yeah. Wear like the plaid skirt. And I did ask a nun, which I was always sent to the office.
You were sent to the office.
Yeah, because I'd ask things like, I remember asking, we had a world religion class, which to me says we're going to learn about other.
Yeah.
And in Plainfield, Illinois, that was like the most exotic thing that had ever come my way. And I was like, oh my God, other religions, other thing. And everything was just like, but the Muslims follow the incorrect God. And it was all on this negative spin. And I finally was like, I wasn't trying to be a smartass. I said, well, how do you know that, to the nun, I said, how do you know you're following the right one? And she just went like gray and stared at me. And I was like, you know, I'd done the reading. I was like, it's an informed question. And I wasn't even being like argumentative. I was like, just how do you know? She's like, because God would tell me.
Yeah. Tell her, because she's a nun.
Well, what do you mean? She's like, God, I know that I'm following the correct way, because if I wasn't, God would tell me. And I was like, well, then why hasn't he told the Muslims and the Jews and like people that just like live in a jungle that don't follow a like specified religion? She was like, you get out of here. And I had to go see the principal. And I was like in fourth grade. I was like, what did I do? I just remember leaving being like, you said, are there any questions? You are nothing like your sister.
She didn't ask it. She didn't bother anybody.
No. She was, I was like, Margie would never ask that. And I'm like,
so you had to go, and then you'd be...
I had to go to the principal and say what I said, and she was like, maybe next time you just listen and try to soak it all in and really enjoy the reading. I was like, she said, are there any questions? And I asked a question. She's like, I think you're missing the point. I was like, I think I'm like nailing the point.
No.
They were just like, shut up.
And did you get sent to the place a lot? I mean, when did you become a problem? Come on, you became a problem.
I wasn't a pro. Well, that was like younger. Once I got in high school, I wasn't. Even though I looked like I was problematic, but I was like the nerd that actually read the stuff and participated in
class. You looked problematic? How so?
Yeah, like I looked like Susie Sue and like Robert Smith had a baby.
Oh, you did that?
So I did that, and I was like, "This is the greatest thing for sure." Raven blue black for
really?
Years. Yeah.
And that was your thing?
That was my thing.
Pre-goth, like, sad emo girl.
Sad, yeah. Without the emo, like the emo thing. It wasn't like sad. I just was like, my hair looks rad.
Yeah, right. Okay, so you're just doing the fashion of it?
Yeah, just the fashion. I could never get depressed enough. I was like, hey.
You're not depressive at all.
No.
I don't feel like you would be.
Because I'm always like, I don't know. Just too many things are stupid to me that makes me laugh.
Well, like that
laugh.
Character in the movie that played your roommate. What's that girl's name again?
Oh my God, Heidi Gardner.
Yeah, so funny.
She's so crazy funny.
She commits to like
that. She just never break, like she doesn't push and she never breaks, and it's funny because she was at Groundlings when she did that, and
that character
no just when we met her. That's how we knew her, from the Groundlings theater. And then right after she was done shooting, she called and was like, oh my God, I just auditioned for SNL. And I was like, you are gonna kill that show. And she was like, first show, she was actually like being
when she was
on
shooting
it.
Your movie.
Yeah, she wasn't doing SNL. It happened right after, and I was so proud of her.
Oh, that character she does every boxer's girlfriend.
Oh my God,
that is crazy character.
That was like 3 weeks in. Like, you know how that first year, it's like you may not even get on camera. And
yeah,
it's like, is she having like solo things right away? Like,
yeah,
and she's so fun. She just can drop into something and does that great thing of like not push but really sits in it. And I just think she's so funny.
So when did you start performing? Like in high school? Did you do theater with your blue hair?
No. No, I did sports, and then
what sports?
Tennis was my biggie.
Tennis?
Yeah, I love tennis.
Were you good?
I was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then
you still play?
Every once in a while. I don't play as much as I want. I keep saying like I don't know why I don't
play. Does it come back?
Yeah, except now I just crush the ball. So he's like, just play easy, play easy. And the whole time the ball's coming to me, I was like, just play easy, just play easy. And then like I go crazy, and first because I had no finesse game, even when I played and I could really play, I just tried to shove the ball down someone else's throat, and I did that to my daughters.
Your little daughters?
I didn't mean to. Yes, the ball was coming, and I was like, okay. And I even said like, just gonna pop it back over, and then like, my mind snaps, I go crazy, and I reared back, and I hit it so hard, it like hit one of my girls, and I was like, I'm a monster. Well, one, I wasn't aiming for anything, like my aim is terrible
now. Did she cry and everything?
Yes, it was like, Mama, why? Because it looked like I was 100% aiming for her face. And it, like, it really like nailed her.
And you were like that in high school too? You just slam it?
Yes. So like, I would try to hit the opponent in the like right off the bat.
Yeah.
I wanted to hit them really hard because I thought then that would make them
freak
jittery.
Them out.
Yeah.
So that was your plan? That was your strategy?
That was my strategy.
If I just hit the guy and not hurt him or her.
Yeah.
And then they'd just be freaked out.
They'll be nervous.
Yeah.
And then they'll be more concentrated on not getting hit.
Did you do that
ever? Playing. Oh, yeah. I'd zing a couple. And I hit really hard. Like other people, like I when Ben and I play, Ben's always like, I'm a terrible player. The fact that you don't beat me. But it's like he just barely taps it back over. And then every time he's like, if you'd stop trying to kill the ball, you would beat me every time. I'm like, I know.
Yeah.
And I tell myself that right until my arm, when the racket goes back, it's like suddenly my eyes turn red and like steam comes out. And then I'm like, bah! And I hit everything like 1,000 miles an hour. And then just, it's nowhere in, but
but
hit it hard.
Satisfying.
It's really satisfying.
I think you do that with comedy sometimes.
Perhaps. Maybe that's, I'm a real one trick pony. I just do everything like aggressively.
Well, no, but there's a build. It starts out nice.
It does always turn forceful, maybe.
And then it's just sort of like,
work through that. There's something about the build to like not holding anything back that I think is. Sad. I mean, I would say normally because you can't do that in your real life.
You can't really. Not
you're
hurt
a tennis
people.
Court. Yes, but that's the like cathartic thing of it. I think. Don't you?
When you yell.
Yeah, that you can play like. When you say things in character, you're like, well, I wouldn't say that in life.
Well, I think there's something satisfying if you've extracted the true anger from it.
Yeah. The you know, root like, of it. It's
like I used to yell and it was not good. You know.
In life you would yell?
Yeah, I'd yell in life, but I'd yell on stage too. But if you have anger in you and you've processed it a little bit, then it can be funny. But if it's unprocessed anger, a lot of times people are like, why do we come to this club?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
If it doesn't flip over whatever that line is, you're like, oh, that's just a really angry person.
Right, and that's no good. But somehow if it's sort of like, why me? Kind of, you're like, then it gets funny. But if it's like, fuck you, it's not
I
as
think
funny.
When you're mad at yourself or somehow
that's funny,
you
just
say
beat the shit out of yourself.
If you stay the butt of your own joke, even if you're trying to pretend it's somebody else, if you still are the main ass, I feel like you can push really hard.
Right.
If it's really mean and it's supposed to be funny, I'm always like, that's a tricky line to, like, I can't walk that line.
I had a hard time with that. Like I remember I did one roast and it just, I couldn't do it right. Cause like, if I'm mean, I mean it. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's not going to come out. It's not going to come out like, you know, like, hey, you know, and just be casually shitting on somebody. It's like, I'm going to be like, you fucking piece of shit.
You're going to say something real.
Well,
no,
just
like,
the tone, even if it's cute, the tone will be so cutting. Because like I've used comedy like that reactively, but I don't do it on stage anymore. If I'm worked up, you know, I try to make myself the funny guy.
Have you ever come back at like, I found when I did stand up, I thought the craziest thing was, you know, especially when you're just starting out and you have like, I've only got 6 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's the heckling.
Yeah.
Like, do you, like, when people, nobody really heckles you anymore, would they? Or is there always, like, the drunk that's like,
well,
take your top off?
Well, no, yeah, that I get that one a lot. And, it's weird.
It's me. It's me in the back.
You're following
just,
me?
Yes.
Yeah, there he is. Take your top off.
Take your top off.
Sometimes, you know, people talk. You know, but they're just, I can tell the difference if they're just like the wall is broken down and they're just reacting. And so I've always had that problem where people, like sometimes I'll look at one person in the crowd for
the
no
whole
reason.
Time.
Like I just end up on them. And at some point they're like, why are you, what's happening? You know,
you're freaking me out. Yeah,
exactly. Are you, or people will answer me like like as if we're having a conversation, which is not hostile. But if I feel bad energy, like, or if somebody's talking to somebody else, I mean, my tactic now is to be really hostile and horrible to them immediately. and then kind of do this thing where it's sort of like, oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say, could you please quiet down? What came out? You know, that kind of.
Like, whoopsie doo.
Yeah, oh, I don't know what I just said. I'm sorry. Why is that lady crying and leaving?
Oh, my God. I just couldn't get. I mean, you do real sets, but it's like I just found it so weird that because it was like no matter what club, there's always the drunk guy that goes, take your top off. And I want to be like, well, what, I'm in a dress.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be hard because it's all coming off.
It's not a two-piece, and then I'm just, it's a mess. But the only way to get them to be quiet was like, well, now I couldn't just say one thing and move on.
Right.
From that person. Right. I'm like, now out of my 6-minute set, because I'm just starting.
I got to babysit.
I have to do 4 minutes, and I have to annihilate you.
Yeah.
In a way that I don't want to do this, but if I don't truly embarrass you to your core, we're now
how are we going to move forward?
Then I can't move forward, and then right after that, so now you finally shut up and I have to be like, hey, the craziest thing happened to me. I was like, there's no, I can't
transition.
Make, I can't flip that switch.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, I can't do this.
You just level someone and go like, pasta.
That's why all your friends hate you.
Yeah.
Craziest thing happened on an airplane. Yeah. They're like, no, we just saw your true colors and you're a monster.
Right, we saw the monster. We saw through it. But do you believe you have, you're angry in there or were?
No, I think I was, I think I was way more likely up until like, through my early 20s to get like, oh, just like I'm irritated and like things aren't going, you're working like 15 jobs and you're just like tired and mad.
And like, life's a jip.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm 23. I should be rolling. It should all be going my way.
Yeah.
Did you finish college? No. I've got so much to offer.
Are you doing anything to do that?
No. I'm going out a lot after my 4 shifts at work, and then I don't feel good in the mornings. But other than that.
Yeah, I'm hungover all the time. I hate my job. That's my resources.
I make every night I spend more than I made that day. Continuously.
After you went to college for a little while?
Yeah, I did. I went like a year and a half.
Where?
Southern Illinois.
So you didn't get out of Illinois. You went right from Catholic school.
Yeah.
And like when you were in your Robert Smith, Susie phase, was there a lot of partying involved?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like that was my main thing in college. I was like, well, I'm booking bands now.
You booked bands?
At this like local pizza thing where they let it. And I was like, if I would have put a quarter of that energy into like classes.
Yeah.
I would have been okay.
So instead, at some point, you let that drift too? You weren't doing the homework?
I wanted to go to New York.
Right.
And my parents are like, you'll kill yourself in New York. And I was like, oh, which I totally would have killed myself in
just
New York.
Not on purpose.
No, just like going out to, I was just like, I want to be in a city. I've been on a farm. Like, I just wanted to be in a city.
Yeah. Were you bringing real bands in?
No, I was bringing in like my friends.
Oh, so
it was like crazy,
So it was just a big.
But we were booking like every once in a while. Somebody's like so and so from St. Louis, and we're like, "Ooh, the city."
But you were sort of involved with whatever the rural punk rock scene was.
Just going out. It was like where is the low grade beer coming from?
Yeah.
And what are we doing after everything closes? It was just like, just so fun. I just felt like, this is what it's about. I'm like, I could have hit a class.
Oh, yeah. We used to hang out in front of liquor stores, get old people to buy our liquor.
Yeah.
Did you?
We would send in Kristen, who was our most developed friend.
Yeah.
And we all thought she looked the oldest. Yeah. So we would just whore her out.
Did she have fake ID?
No, she would just go up to somebody. We're like, she's pretty. And she has a very large chest. We're like, go get us some beer. It worked.
Yeah, yeah. And then you go drive around.
I know. It's like the worst. Like, what are you thinking? And also, if some kid came up to me in a liquor store and asked me.
I always wonder about that.
I'd be like, no.
I always.
What are you doing?
Who are those people? I always think about that.
But you never went to somebody that you went to like the sleaziest person.
Well, I think there's that moment. Like, I think what happens in people if they hate themselves enough is just sort of like, I remember being that kid. I'm going to help him out. I'm going to give him a six of Heineken. whatever.
Do you think that was it? Of like, oh, you poor son of a bitch.
Well, yeah,
you that might, was me.
Yeah, maybe. Like, yeah,
maybe.
I mean, yeah, I don't know what else it would be, but for some reason, it seems like, I don't know. I'm 54, so like, it didn't seem like drinking and driving was the popular. It was not an issue.
Nobody seemed to. Nobody seemed talking to mind. About it. Yeah. I remember we got pulled over in my friend's huge station wagon, like a crazy one of those big old ones when I was in high school. And there were, I think, seven of us in the back, like the wagon part.
Yeah.
And there were just beer cans everywhere. And like we were going somewhere and the cops pulled us over. He did the light thing, talked to the driver, who she was actually not drinking, and like went back, looked in the back seat, and then looked in the back, and there's like seven girls rattling around back there with like 800 beers. And he was just like, have a good night. And I think about that all the time. I was just like, in what world do you not get us out of the car? And we all were like, you know, 16.
Yeah, it's the same world where his buddy probably bought you beer.
Probably. Yeah, or he wasn't in his uniform. We were like, excuse me, sir.
Were you driving around in the sticks, though? Because the sticks have different rules.
Sticks have different rules. No, this was like in the big city of Joliet, Illinois, where the prison is.
Sure, sure.
Not to be showy.
Yeah.
But wow. Yeah, we drive by Statesville.
So, all right, so you go to college for a year and a half and just what? What happens?
And then I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I wanted to like,
wearing the hair with the...
Yes.
Oh, so FIT, still. That was the plan?
Yeah.
So you were going to go further with the hair.
Yeah, I wanted to, I was like, I'm going into fashion because I took, you know, I took clothing and textile classes at school.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make clothes. Yeah. And they're like, we're going to make pot holders. I was like, I don't want a home ec class.
Oh.
Like, I want to make a suit. I want to make this. I'm like, I've been scared. Like, I knew how to sew.
Did you make a suit?
Not there, because they were like, we're going to start with pot holders.
Pot holders?
That's what I said. I said, this is, and I was like, this is lame. This isn't a fashion class. I said, I know how to make clothing.
Yeah.
And she goes, then you should make a very good pot holder.
Oh, wow.
So my response to that is, I'm never showing up here again.
Like the nun of a different denomination.
That's what it felt like. It felt like I finally went to college and I thought we were going to be like discussing things and doing really creative stuff. Yeah, and I was like, this is the same crap from high school where it's just a teacher that doesn't really care being like, and I was like, a pot holder.
And that was that for that.
Yeah.
That was the end of the fashion dream?
No, I made clothes on my own. And for a while,
you made your own clothes.
Yeah. For a while, I was going to make... I started meeting with drag queens because I was going to make them start doing gowns and stuff. Because I was like,
Chicago?
That's fun. Nope. Southern Illinois.
Right. So what city? That's
Carbondale.
Okay. So was there enough of a drag queen resource?
Yeah, there really was. There was a good, there was some good shows.
Yeah. And you started doing that?
I never ended up doing it, but like I remember like meeting with a bunch of people and then like it's like couldn't make up their mind or like didn't want to actually pay enough for it.
Did you make your own clothes?
I sometimes would make my own, but I would always alter, like change stuff. Like if I'd get something, I'd be like, I should rip that in half and then do that. Like I loved monkeying with stuff.
And a lot of eyeliner?
So much eyeliner. And white, like white stage makeup, like full true kabuki. And then just like black mascara on my eyebrows and like, you know, I would like put big rectangles over my eyes. And then, of course, if somebody looked, be like, what are you looking at?
Right, sure. Like, you don't get it.
I was like...
Do you look back on that? How do you feel about that girl now?
I think I was bored, and I think it was pretty funny. Like, I remember just doing certain things and being like, that's crazy.
Like
at one
what?
Point, I shaved... I came home from I had spent the night downtown Chicago with like a friend that had already gone to college.
Yeah.
And I came home and I had my head wrapped and I had shaved I'd say an inch and a half of my hairline.
Yeah.
Like bald.
Yeah.
And I continued the white kabuki makeup up onto my skull. And my sister, I came home and Margie goes, is anybody going to stop her? And I thought, I was like, look, my head looks malformed. And I thought it was the funniest thing. And I still had the rest of my hair. They thought I shaved the whole thing.
Yeah.
And like finally the scarf came out. But it was more bizarre that my hairline.
Like 3 inches?
Like an inch and a half, which I'll tell you what, you get this curve in with makeup that it's a real head turner.
Yeah.
Because people are like, what's wrong with her head? And I'd be like, it looks crazy, right? And it didn't bother me at all. I just thought it was the, for some reason, I thought it was really, really funny to just do things that were like so unappealing and like so weird looking. But I was like, I don't know. I was fascinated with like what you could do.
And what did you, what did your parents say?
They were like, oh my God, Missy. You're making choices. And I was like, I know. Look at it from profile. Yeah. I mean, it really looks like I've had a head injury. They were like, Jesus. Because like a year earlier, I was like kind of preppy and like I was a cheerleader and I did tennis.
Oh, yeah.
And I was student council. And then the next year, I was like,
fuck it.
I should probably just start going downtown Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like a pretty sudden switch.
But that's, I think that's about right, right? It's when you're supposed to do that.
I got bored.
But you
bored.
Weren't mean to your parents. You weren't like, fuck you or anything.
I wasn't great. From like 16 to 18, I was a bit of a dick.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. And it went, it started really suddenly and it went off really suddenly. Like, I remember going off and being like, oh my God, I gotta call mom. And I called her and I was like, I'm so sorry for the last 2 years. I don't, because they're super nice, they're super supportive. And I just suddenly was like, ah. Drop me off down the street. I don't want anyone to know that like I'm not driving myself. And that was like at 15. She was like, well, none of you are driving. Nobody, none of your friends have your license yet. And I was like, oh, you don't get it. And then I'd walk by all my friends' cars and I'd be like, hey, Mrs. Kerner. Like I had no problem.
Right.
And I'd say hello to all their moms.
Right.
But suddenly it was like that really cliche thing of like, I was just suddenly like so... I just wanted to be older.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And so I just acted out, and I was like, I was such a jerk to them. And then when I realized, I still to this day sometimes I'm like, I am sorry about that couple of years.
Like you're just like, you're just like belligerent and like, you know. It's...
Yeah, and I just wanted to stay out, and they're like, you're not coming home at 2 a.m. You're 16 years old, and I was like, this is crazy. And he's like, no, it's crazy that you want to. First of all, you shouldn't be downtown Chicago. He's like, I moved to a farm. To keep my children out of Chicago, and I can't keep you from going to Chicago.
And that's where you'd go?
Yeah.
And what'd you do in Chicago?
We'd go to clubs, and we'd go to like, there was like a juice bar called Medusa's that was 18 or under, but it was like a full club. And
18
I
or
thought,
over?
18 and under.
Oh, 18 and
yeah,
under?
Yeah, so it was
so
a
if you're over
bar.
18, you couldn't go?
I don't know about that. Oh. I wasn't.
Yeah.
But it was like, it felt like a real club. And then we'd, you know, eventually got IDs and we'd sneak into like the metro and.
Right. You got fake
in
IDs.
In Berlin, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but it's like, we just wanted to like dance. I mean, we would drink, but the main thing I was like, they're all going to like Tom's house, like we've been doing since freshman year and having the same party. I was like, we are downtown Chicago listening to like unbelievable music. And it's like. I'm not surrounded by the same 14 people. It was just like the most exciting thing.
Well,
ever.
Thank God that you did that. Seriously, because you have to do that. You've got to want to get
so
out. I wanted to get out. I was in New Mexico, and I wanted nothing
Where
more.
Where did
to,
you go? Like, to what was your get out?
Well,
place?
In New Mexico, you got your driver's license at 15. So, and then like I got a job by the university, so I was engaging with freak people, like older weirdos, and like the guy who worked at the record store next door turned me on to all this weird music.
Yeah.
And then there was a whole art scene. There was a like New Mexico University of New Mexico. Had like there was a lot of artists there, so I was sort of hanging out, like going to weird parties
with
you know.
Everybody was older than you.
Yeah, I remember bringing one of my townie buddies to one of these college parties with all these freaks, like you know, like there was like a bondage theme. It was like weird
oh
art
my
stuff.
God.
And I remember my buddy, we walk in and he was like, "What the fuck?" No, like, no, these are college. What the fuck are we doing?
This is college. This is the goal. Just, some guy's just in a latex suit.
There was one of those guys. It wasn't like a whole gay thing, but there was the guy who I knew from the record store had a band that only played twice a year, and they wore surgical suits, and they broke Fiesta wear. And it was, you know, it was complicated.
But isn't it like once you see that, even as a...
Oh, yeah.
It's still just like... Well, it's kind of hard to go back to like someone's parents' basement.
It is.
Like
yeah.
after you see, like,
sure, because you like there's a world out there,
yeah,
that I don't understand at all.
No,
and I want to be part of it.
Yeah, for God's sake.
So when did you get out? When did you decide to leave?
SIU.
Yeah, or go do like be funny. How? What clicked in your brain that realized you're like I can't make my own clothes?
I moved to because school was not working out for me. My sister was in Boulder, Colorado, and I was like, I guess I'll go visit, and I stayed there for. I don't know, not a full year, but I had one of my best friends who was in New York came out to visit me. He's like, what are you doing here?
In Boulder.
Yeah.
Were you just like, working?
I work at a farmer's market. I was trying to get this shoe. Like there was an actual like a shoe cobbler that I kept trying to talk into, like teaching me how to make shoes. That wasn't working out. And he's like, no, what are you doing here? Like, what are you, why are you in Boulder, Colorado? I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, you're just lost?
He's like, you should come to, you. And I was like, well, I want to come to New York, but I have like, I think I had like $35. And he's like, just get a ticket. Wow. And you can move in with me. And
saved it. That, who was that person?
Brian Atwood.
He saved you.
One of my closest friends from high school. And I moved in with him. Of course, when I got to New York.
Yeah.
Like after the like ride in,
yeah,
it had like, you know, then I had like $9 left for my big move. And he was staying on someone's couch.
He didn't really even have his own
no.
place.
No, so I came with all these bags and this girl was like, what? I'm like, I'm here, Brian's advice. She's like, he doesn't live here, he's staying on my couch. I'm like, oh, oh boy. Like I don't have enough money to, I can't go anywhere, I have no money. So this girl, I just remember
how old
her,
are you?
20?
Yeah.
She was just, she was so mad at me. And I was like, I know it's weird, but I mean, I literally cannot go anywhere else. And we stayed there for like, you know, until we got our own apartment. I was like, oh my God. And he would, just never thought to mention, by the way.
I don't really live at the place.
I don't live there, but come on out.
I'm curious about the cobbler. What was that relationship?
Well, I kept me, I was like trying to like, I was drawing bags for her and I was trying to get her labels. And I just went into like, I said, I'll just help you do whatever you need done.
Yeah.
If you teach me how to make shoes, because yeah. she'd like do it on last and did the, and I was like, that would be amazing.
Did you make any shoes?
No, she kept just putting it off. But I think I cleaned her place a lot.
The shoe dream never manifested.
The shoe dream never manifested, but boy, were her floors clean.
All right, so you're in New York, no money. You're doing jobs. Like I'm trying to figure out.
The first, I moved in with Brian.
Yeah.
We went to a grocery store and he picked up a Village Voice.
Yeah.
And he said, you're going to do stand-up tomorrow night. And it was the first night in.
So he knew you were funny and you had not discussed that or anything?
We had always done this thing called Miss Why.
Yeah.
And that was like kind of an alter ego. And we would always make up these stories.
Yeah.
And when we were out, like I'd tell kind of like long, weird stories.
Yeah.
And he's like, you have to do it. And we never really talked about doing it. It was just like a thing we did when we were goofing around.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're going to do stand-up tomorrow. And being 20, I was like, all right.
And you
didn't think about it, didn't write anything, just got up.
Where?
And stand-up New York was the first place. My favorite place was the Duplex.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
But stand-up New York was the...
Yeah, that was a weird room.
And it's, you know, especially when you're doing an open mic.
Yeah, and it's a weird thin room and that stage was kind of narrow and
everybody's rooting against everybody, which I was like, it's kind
How'd
of
you
a
do?
Weird. I didn't do terribly because I got to come back, but I'm sure like if I watched it now, it would be like the hackiest hack stuff.
Yeah. But you didn't walk in with stand up? How long did you do it?
I did it probably only 6 months.
Oh.
And then I just didn't like the heckling stuff. I couldn't get past.
Take your top off?
Yeah, take your top off. And I was just bored with it. I was like, oh, God, it's not even a different line.
Yeah.
And it was like, and I dressed kind of like a drag queen. Like I'd go with like wigs and like I was pretty exaggerated looking on stage. So I was like, really?
This,
like, really?
I didn't hide myself well enough. I didn't desexualize enough.
I was like, what do I have to dress? I just got tired of it. So I was like, maybe I'll just go and do like something else. So I started an acting class and then I never went back to it. Now I'm too chicken.
Oh.
But, now I find it terrifying.
Well, but I guess. Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. Which acting class? Did you stay in that?
I did. I did it for 2 years.
Which one?
Michael Harney,
I know that guy.
He's an amazing actor. He was on True Detectives.
Yeah.
He was on Orange is the Warden. He's the warden on Orange is the New Black.
Oh, yeah.
And he was, it was a very serious class. It was a two-year program.
Well, what was it? What school?
It was his acting.
Okay.
It was his acting school, and we were Meisner trained.
Yeah.
And like no business talk. He's like, I don't want to see headshots. I don't want to talk. I don't want anybody talking about auditions. Just come in here and learn to act and keep all that.
See,
stuff
did Meisner sort of like, you know, listening and
you have a blue shirt. You have a blue shirt.
I have a blue shirt.
I have a blue shirt.
You like, have a blue shirt. Yeah.
And it went on. And for some reason, I was like, this is the greatest thing ever.
It is pretty good. It locks you into something.
It totally does. I loved it. And it like it totally made sense to my head that it wasn't about the words as much as it was like what you were. I was like, it's a perfect example of it doesn't matter what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
So I
and gets
loved
you present.
It. Yeah.
Wow. And so you did that for 2 years
mm-hmm.
and then you got an agent?
No, I couldn't figure that part out. Oh. I just kept putting on plays and like one act things with other people where I would get it together in New York, like some random room, and the goal was just to make enough money if we could like break even,
right?
Then we could like go to the next one and break even on that.
Were they comedies?
No,
you
never
do,
comedies.
So you were serious.
All dramatic stuff.
How did that hit?
I did a lot
how'd the wheels come off of that?
I finally moved to LA because I was like, I don't know how to get an agent, and I never wanted to leave New York, but I moved out here and moved in with a friend who let me move into a studio, which was very nice.
Yeah.
And my sister had sent me something ripped out of a magazine on Groundlings. And I was like, L.A. theater will be amazing.
Mm.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I'd never been here before. So.
So you just did that on a whim, too? You just came out here?
Yeah. And again, I was completely broke, but I knew like it wasn't. I was doing plays all the time, but I was like, I don't know how to make this how to make it a living.
Someone show me the portal.
Yeah, because I was like, I don't get it. I don't know how you break in.
Varney said no headshots. So like, we're not going to learn about business.
Which is actually like, it was kind of great because that never entered into it.
Yeah.
It wasn't part of like, who's doing what.
Yeah.
I just always remember like the toy. There was a toy thing that happened once a year.
Got to bring toys in?
No, it was like the toy fair.
Yeah.
And all these huge companies came and it's like, that's where people started getting jobs. And I was
the
like,
toy fair?
Yeah, it was like, I'm playing Barbie.
Oh,
and
I
like
see.
Somebody really like.
Yeah, so they cast.
Yeah. Actors. And so like whoever you were playing at that, because it was supposed to be like really good money. And I could never, I was like, oh my God, I can't even get like, I'm a Rubik's Cube. Like there was just nothing.
An undone.
Yeah, and it was a real like, it was that point in the year where everybody was like, I am Barbie.
Oh, really? That was
like, I'm still nannying and working two shifts.
You nannied?
Oh yeah, I nannied for a long time.
In New York?
In New York and in LA.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's a nice gig.
It was real, I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved the kids, I loved the family.
Being in other people's houses.
Yeah.
Like,
in a nicer house, I was like, we live so nicely. And I moved in with a really lovely family, and I was like, I have my own bathroom. Like in New York, I was like, what?
Yeah.
I felt like, I was like, oh my God, I have like a benefactor. This was like the greatest. She was like, sorry, the room is so small. I was like, it's mine. I'd been living on like a floor.
How long did you live with them?
I lived with them a couple of years.
Wow.
Yeah, I went from there to LA, but I was like, I was like crushed leaving. I was really close to them.
Yeah, and what you left because you had to follow the dream.
I just knew I needed to do something different. I was I'm not figuring it out here.
Yeah, but that's so funny because you probably noticed, like I noticed, like I just assumed that it would all just fall into place without having any knowledge of it whatsoever if I just showed up at the place.
Yes, and
eventually.
I'm working so hard.
Right.
Like somebody, don't these people come and see plays?
Right, you have no idea how show business works.
None.
It's weird.
None.
And you realize after you've been out here a while that still exists. There's just a world of people that are like, when's it?
I know. It's like, I'm doing monologues in my bedroom.
Yeah.
I don't see why it's not working.
I put them online. but it's like, it's hard to crack the code.
It really is. And people are resistant to somebody new. And
you don't know what managers are good or what agents are good. And sometimes...
No.
So you come out here and you go to Groundlings. That's where you learned,
I think of that like my college. Where I learned.
You took
everything.
The class?
Took classes.
Yeah.
And then eventually got in Sunday Company and then eventually got in. I was there for 12 or 13 years.
Before you did anything?
I started doing a show during the time there.
Yeah.
But, you know, up until I certainly wasn't working very much. Like I always had like like a couple jobs.
So you were in Sunday Company. When who was your crew?
It was like Kristen Wiig, Annie Mumolo, Maya Rudolph, Jim Rash, Nat Faxon, like a really kind of crazy.
Jim Rash. I just saw his movie on the plane.
Oh, you did?
The Way, Way Back.
Which isn't good?
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's so we had kind of a crazy group. Like I remember Maya got a show and we were all like, but we also were all kind of, you know, she just seemed magical. She seems magical. Like, she still seems magical, but now I know her really well. At the time, we were just like, of course she did.
Yeah.
Because she's amazing. And then, like, left that show to go do SNL. And we were like, what? You're leaving one show to do SNL? Like, it just was, like, crazy.
But you knew once you were in Groundlings for a little while, but that was possible. That it wasn't
then
like...
Then it became... And I felt like I found... Also, I don't think I would have stayed in LA without Groundlings. I think I just needed to find other... It was like you literally found your other, like,
and what'd you learn
strange
there?
People.
Yeah. I mean, like, what, how did, like, because you have, like, there, you have a style about you. And I think that it seems that, like, people who work in sketch, who have the freedom to improvise and create characters, but you do, I think you seem to figure out over time what is funny about you.
I think you at least learn that what's funny to you, and all you can do is that.
Yeah.
Because if you don't think it's funny, it's like if I truly think something's not funny, I'm like, I can't pull that off.
Right. But like, but when you're on stage in a live situation, you start to realize, like, I'm going to do this thing now because it's going to get a laugh.
And the adjustment is, to me, the most addicting thing.
The adjustment.
The adjustment of if it's working or if it's not working.
Yeah.
And if you alter something and you catch them.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, oh, my God. Like, the second I... felt that, and it's also I felt it the other way many times where I'm like, ooh, they are not enjoying what I'm dishing out right now. And I think that maybe teaches you more than anything. Yeah. It's the bomb. Like, when we all get together, it's like, it's the bombs we talk about.
Not
like, remember that great scene? It's like, remember when you were so embarrassed? Like, remember when people hated your guts on stage and, like, verbally hated you? I'm like, remember that? Remember quite a few of those. Finding that, and I think just being like, if I never worked, I was like, I found where I should be.
Yeah, right.
And I don't care. I'll keep doing other jobs and just keep doing this.
But when you say like the adjustment, like that seems to be like a tool of some kind. Like you know, like when you did, like Gilmore Girls was not the most extreme character, but you know, but you had to be there for everybody and show up, but it wasn't like over the top.
No.
So how do you construct a regular character like that?
I think it's still like from I mean, I still think you have to. I always feel like I have to like my characters, even if they're terribly flawed. I mean, even if they seem like monsters in my head, I'm like, but I know what they mean. I know like their intent. Like
Show was written to, like, you know, when it's written, when it's there, you're like, oh, okay.
It was written to be done word for word like that. So there was absolutely no. There was no looseness to that.
And
they had
a
real style.
How'd you get that gig?
Alex Borstein was in. She actually got it first.
Uh-huh.
And then I think she couldn't get out of her Mad TV contract.
Huh.
And so they... I know. I was like, oh. So...
She's working now.
She's working now. She's good, everybody. Yeah. She's just fine.
She's on the amazing Miss Maisel.
Yeah. Same creator as Gilmore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's so funny.
Oh, that's funny. I mean, that's true. Yeah. It's like, guess what?
Yeah.
We're going to make this right.
We're going to make this right. And I don't blame her. I was like, Alex is really funny. But she couldn't do it. And then they saw all these people. And that was like, that was the first. I mean, I got that job. And I think I was 29. And I was about to be 30 the next week. And I thought, all right, this has been a solid 10 years of like grinding it. And I was like, just stay in production. I was like a production coordinator. And
so that's what you're doing for money?
Like, yeah, at that point I was. And I was like, if I don't get something by the time I'm 30, I had a week. I've been telling myself this for like 6 months. I was like, don't chase it if it's not meant to be.
Yeah.
And I was like, I like doing production. I said, at 30, you're going to just go for that.
Yeah.
And then I got Gilmore when I, like, a week away from being 30.
It's weird. You probably could have been all right with production.
I liked, I still was like, there's real creativity in it. And it's and you're still making something.
And you're engaging with people all the time. You're like, where's the, how come craft services isn't?
Yeah. I was running around being like, I'll get it. Why am I still lifting cases of water?
But Gilmore Girls, Jesus, that was a great run.
Crazy. Because that went seven years.
And people love
years.
It.
Yeah.
They watch it compulsively. Maybe I'm just talking about the one weird girl I went out with for a while.
No, there's a whole, people really, they were like, I grew up with that. My mom and I watched it. Like a lot of stories about it. It's the only time my mom and I talked during like that stage of my life. It's like, it's.
That's what they tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really
was like, oh, geez.
It really brought people together.
Yeah.
I dated a woman who it was like her medication. She she would watch repeats of the Gilmore Girls. It got a little ugly, but over time, it didn't work out. but it was one of the ways she treated herself.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'd come home and she'd be in it. And I'd be like, how many times have you seen this episode? I can't even count anymore. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go in the other room and go out to the garage. But as a testament to the work, it did help her. That's what I'm saying.
There. Sure.
Yeah.
That's what you mean.
So, but so that was like 7 years.
Yeah.
And that's all you did. Were you still doing the Groundlings during the time?
Yeah. And I did the Groundlings the whole time.
And movies?
I did a couple like tiny little parts.
You were just like funny moments?
Yeah. Just a couple lines here and there.
The funny woman with the two lines?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was probably going to be cut out.
What are you fellas doing?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the crazy neighbor. Get out of my bushes.
But you were known from the Gilmore Girls, but you didn't, it wasn't like, you didn't break out, right?
No, it was wonderful, steady work that I had never even imagined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what happened? So you, after, that's a long time.
It's a long time.
So many years.
Did another little show called, is it I Am Sam? Samantha Who.
I went back
to like the first name.
Yeah.
Samantha Who, which was really fun.
Yeah.
And then, but it didn't last. It didn't survive that writer's strike.
Right. And then
really like the first thing where I was like, I felt like, which was probably why I thought I for sure wasn't going to get it, was Bridesmaids.
Yeah. And that was before Mike and Molly?
I feel like I did that the summer before I started Mike and Molly.
Okay, Bridesmaids.
So it was like right before it. I think I was started on Mike and Molly before it had even aired.
And
like
that,
Bridesmaids hadn't come out yet.
And Bridesmaids was like huge.
And it was so strange because those were all my friends from Groundlings.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, wait, is anybody going to see that? Like, is this just funny to us? Because that's what we've been doing.
Who did that, Paul Feig?
Paul Feig.
And you
directed
she was in the Groundlings with you?
Yeah. We were all in the company together. We were making a movie. We're like, what the hell's happening?
But that was so smart because you all knew how to work with each other, right?
Yeah. Rose was really the only one we didn't know. And that took like 13 minutes before we were all like, she's great. I mean, it was just like.
Right.
You
got that character.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it was.
I talked
so
to Wendy.
Sweet.
She's like a trip.
She's a trip.
She really is.
Yeah.
Kind of. I got the feeling that she was still on the fence about, you know, whether she should be working at the hotel still. Like literally, she's on the Goldberg
job. Right, yeah,
she's that kind of person.
Totally.
And I think she still lives down by her parents.
She does.
Yeah.
And I was like, you don't want to move into LA? She's like, oh God, no. Oh no. And she always has an amazing amount of like jams and jellies, and she's always got some kind of like emollient or like a wonderful like hand cleanser in her bag. I'm always like, what do you have? It's like a pharmacy in there.
Yeah. So that changed everything, the Bridesmaids. You got an Oscar nomination for that,
yeah,
right?
Crazy.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, nuts.
And then, but then the movie career starts, and then the Mike and Molly go, it never stops.
Never stops.
You do. You got to deal with Billy every day.
Yeah. Oh,
he's a great guy.
Sweet son of a bitch.
Yeah.
He is, every day he'd come in and be like, well, they let me on the lot again. I don't know what's going on. And his like 50s car. I was like, he's like feel like we met. And I literally was like, I think I just met who was supposed to be my brother.
Yeah.
Like, I love him so much.
And
he's, I mean, you know, he's yeah. just bigger than life.
But you guys hit it off right away. And
right
you,
away. That whole group did. That was like a dreamy cast where we all
And that
just
show
got
was on for another 7 or 8 years,
I think,
right?
Six or seven years.
And both of those are like, well, like Gilmore Girls, you did another, you did the new one too, right?
I did. I went in for a day, yeah.
Okay. And then in that, but the syndication?
Crazy.
Right? So you were good.
Crazy. It's
you're all set.
Well, I mean, syndication for the actors doesn't always mean so much.
That's right. But when it's 120 episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes a while for those checks to be $3.
Like, yeah. And then you're getting down to like 39 cents.
You still put it in the bank though, don't you?
Yes. Except when they're really low. My husband, Ben, does a thing where when you get something under like 50 cents.
Yeah.
He always signs it over to a friend and like makes it kind of slides it across the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. With like a really creepy wink.
Sure, get yourself a
and
soda.
And they cash it. Like then everybody does it back and forth to
oh,
each
that's
other.
Funny.
If it's like super low, it gets signed
that's
over.
That's the game.
Yeah.
When did you meet Ben?
Technically, I met him at Groundlings.
Uh huh.
Like I want to say second round, like first day of class, we sat next to each other.
Oh, so it goes back, yeah.
But then weirdly, I went to Southern Illinois University and he grew up in Carbondale.
So that was the connection?
That was the connection because I said, I went to SIU, kind of. Nobody's heard of Carbondale. And it went around the room and he's like, thanks. I'm from Carbondale.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, sorry.
Did you say, may you remember me? I had my head shaved up to the top.
Once we became really good friends, like a week or two in, he said, oh my God, I knew who you were. I know who you were. And I said, no, you wouldn't recognize me. He goes, I was afraid of you. And I said, oh, that was me.
Yeah.
That was me. He goes, we were at a party together.
Get out
he
of
goes,
here.
He was in high school because he's 3 years younger. He goes, I was friends with a bunch of the gothic girls in high school.
Yeah.
That like always would try to go to like one of the parties. He goes, we were at a party together because you had the most gack on.
Oh, really?
And he goes, I was like, probably a full length cape, something subtle.
Yeah. And
so
it was you remembered.
Yeah.
You.
So like 10 years before we met, really. We were at a party together.
That's wild.
In Southern Illinois. I know, isn't that weird?
It's crazy.
I know.
And how long did you date before you got married?
Like 6 years or so.
Wow.
A while.
So did you ever audition for SNL?
No.
Never happened?
No. Every time they would come like once to Groundlings. SNL would always come to Groundlings like once or twice a year. And I did almost every show, and I swear to God, for like the 13 years I was there, it was like I took one show off, and
yeah.
they were like, oh, SNL came. I was like, God damn, are you kidding me?
It's so much.
Every single time, they were like, we never saw, like, just the odds of it, how did we not see you? I'm like, I'm telling you, in a year, I would not make one show, and it would be the one time you were there.
Wild.
I mean, not that I would have gotten it, but it was just like, it was heartbreaking. Like the timing of it was like crushing to
me. Oh,
at
that time? Sure, yeah, it's the worst. Like, oh. Like you're just like, how did that happen to me?
Crazy.
Just built, it built the engine.
Yeah.
The engine.
It built the fury.
The disappointment and rage.
Just the, nothing
but
so, mistakes.
It's so much more exciting to go back the way you went back. You hosted it how many times?
I've hosted it 5 times now.
And that's great. And the Spicer thing, you can just show up and do
just be a man. Be the true man I am.
Lose your mind, start screaming and running around.
Whatever gets me on a podium in New York City is okay.
But that was such a relief for everybody. Jeez, because that happened when, you know, like we've all gotten numb to the scariness of it all. But Jesus, at that moment you did that, we're like, oh, thank God.
It was just like, I just remember. When they, Kent Sublett, who's also another friend from Groundlings, he's one of the head writers there now.
Uh-huh.
And I was there shooting something. He's like, you think you could come in and, do you have any interest in playing Spicer? And I was like, what? How am I going to do Spicer? I was like, I don't do impersonate. Like, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's just, I don't know. I don't know if I want to get into that.
Right.
It just seems so.
And
like,
he talked you into it?
Yeah, and I was like, well, it's impossible. How am I going to become Spicer? And then the special effects guy's like, not that hard. As he's like staring at you like, we can make you a man in like 13 minutes. I was like, oh. I was like, can you at least say it'll be harder? Yeah. He's like, it's going to be pretty easy.
Yeah. And then you did it like a bunch of times.
I did it a bunch, yeah.
And what was going on? Like, I remember that moment where he came out. They brought him at the Academy Awards. It was like, what did? What were they doing?
It's very strange.
I know, because they cut right to you, and you're like,
which I didn't know a camera. I was just like, I just didn't know what was. I was like, why are you here?
Yeah.
I couldn't figure that out. I was like, you're not a sidekick to me.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for you to like apologize to the country.
Yeah.
I was like, you don't get to move right into like.
And were you in the audience, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
But like, did you interact with that guy?
No.
No.
No, I had no interest.
But you got, they claim that you helped him lose his job, which is fine.
Better than hang out, yes.
Yeah.
It's like, I think you know, you get into that stuff. I was like, I truly am like, you can't move on with, at least with me or so many people. It's like, we need a hardcore apology.
Right.
You have to full mea culpa for that stuff.
It wouldn't even be enough. That guy was, those people are deficit of something. But like your characterization of him was just so relieving and funny. And just like, you know, it was somehow or another, you were able to, watching it, you're like, yeah, he probably is like that. That's what he's saying.
Well, and it's funny. I had been really busy for like 3 days, and I hadn't read anything. I was like, I haven't seen a paper. I haven't done anything.
Oh, after you did it, you mean?
No, one of them.
Yeah.
And they called, and they sent a script, and I think I was still in New York. And I said, I think what you guys have done so well is always used real stuff. Like, mm-hmm. what I'm saying is quotes, which I think is why it works so much.
Because
I was like, I never want to go mean. I don't want to just take a stab. I'd rather use their own words.
So, you actually did.
I mean, I didn't, but it was like, that was a part of it. I was like, I think to keep it funny, you use their own words against them.
Yeah.
So if we start just making fun of them.
Then we lose it.
It gets nasty.
Right.
Like that. And I said, so if we can take out this thing where he's hiding in the bushes. And Kent was like, what? I said, well, it's just, I mean, it's funny, but it's like, now if we go crazy, then everybody's crazy.
And he goes,
what hole have you been in? I was like, I haven't looked at a paper in 3 days. Like, I'm in a complete vacuum. And he goes, it's true. He hid in the bushes. And I was like, I'll be right in. I literally was like, I'm literally hailing a cab as we speak. Yeah. I just jumped out a window and I landed on top of a cab. I felt like my brain cracked in half.
Yeah, but I thought you were great in St. Vincent.
Thanks.
And working with him must have been just a fucking amazing experience.
Surreal and lovely, and also I was like, oh my God, you're so good.
Like, yeah, what was it?
I don't know, even as a person, he's one of the most fascinating.
Yeah.
Like, he's on a different timing.
Right.
And there's a, like, such a non-bullshit thing of, like, he doesn't choose to use a filter in any way in terms of, like, acting-wise, as a person, he just is, like, when he's having fun, he's having fun. When he's giving an opinion, it's a real opinion. Like, there's just something about him that I can't say I've ever met anyone like Bill.
Yeah.
And he's just so good. Like, when he's doing stuff, I just think, oh my God. Like, there's no push.
Yeah.
There's no push at all. And I was like, I gotta cool it. If I push on this one, I'll murder myself. Because you were just like, I think when you're with somebody so good, you're just like, oh God. Don't be that one that's like, if they just would have calmed down. So I really had to be like, don't geek out. Like, I didn't want to get nervous and try too hard.
Well, you said
this.
Can
smell it.
Like, you've said this about someone else too. The pushing thing. So do you know that you have a propensity to push?
I don't. I feel like I don't push as much as when I really love my character.
Yeah.
I can get really like, I just feel so strongly for them that if it's like, if it's an injustice or so, whatever it is, it's like, I feel like sometimes it's just like, you can't always play it to 10, even though I'm like, in my heart, I feel like you have wronged her or I love you, whatever it is. It's like, I just feel like I love them so much that it's weirdly almost like me defending them.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm always like, just, you can't, everything can't be a crusade.
Yeah.
So it's like something that I, you know.
You can't slam the ball every time.
You can't. Oh. Yes, it's the same damn thing. I don't have a great gray area.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's right to.
Well, it's funny because like that, like I was talking to my producer about it, is that like you're one of those people now, for me, like Will Ferrell, you know, who I think had almost a similar trajectory that like, you know, you guys did a lot of stuff and then all of a sudden something. But like, I'll go see whatever you're in because I'll wait for you to do the thing.
Oh no, what's the thing? I don't know.
Just to like go, like there's just moments where, you know, you'll just like, there's just, you have a way of being funny that is so consistent and so unique that like, there, and you know when you do it, it's just when you pop, when you like something, it, you don't do it in all the movies. You know, I'm not trying to pigeonhole you.
Right.
But you are like, as a comic performer, you have a very, you know how to be very funny very easily, which is a rare thing.
Well, thanks.
I'm saying a good thing.
I just hit you with a tennis ball. My response, I feel weird. I'll hit him.
Yeah, that's right. But you know what I mean?
Like, certain characters. It's like, if I can dig my teeth in,
yeah.
I'm gonna break my teeth.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go for, like, there's something.
Right, that's what I mean. That moment when you go for it, it's just sort of like, yeah. Like,
and when you get, you know, when you either I can write them, which is an amazing thing,
yeah.
Or when someone writes it for you and you're like, that is the juiciest part, and I just feel like you have to go for it. You have to, I don't know. I always just think like, I can't be afraid. I'll do lesser versions, but I always think I'll give you the one that's like to the moon, just because you have to at least give it a swing.
But it's so funny though, because like I talked to Ferrell once, and he doesn't give you nothing when he'll just talk straight. You know, like, and it's almost like he goes out of his way to do it. And he's one of those.
Really?
Yeah. Like, he'll just like flat, you know, like, it's good. You know, he's having a nice conversation. But, you know, if you're a fan of his, you just sit there going, when is it going to, it's going to happen any second. It's going to.
It's because there's also something like when he's, even when he's talking seriously, that you're like,
yeah.
Bill Hader,
yeah.
To me, is, I feel like Bill must think I'm the strangest human being, because he could be talking about like, I'm gonna put my cat down, like it could be something so terrible, and I literally am like, cat. He's like, no, my cat's really sick. I'm like, like, I have, there's just certain people, there's just certain people
they're
that like,
so
I'm like, I can't. I don't think I've ever had a normal conversation. Every time I leave, I'm like, oh, God, Bill's got to think I'm just nuts.
You're just
I'm like,
funny.
He was just having a nice, he was just being nice, and we were having a normal conversation, and I couldn't. And then I get more nervous because I know how much I laugh around certain people.
Right.
That then it's like, it's like church, weird church laughing, where like now I'm just like.
Can't stop.
Oh, like tears are coming down, and they're just like.
Yeah,
I don't think we're saying anything funny.
Yeah. Well, Hader's another one of those guys. He's like Bill Murray. He does operate it in a different zone.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, you got to go. I don't know. No. You got another thing?
Yeah.
Oh, what are you doing?
I don't know what's after this.
Oh, geez. All right. Well, good job on the movie.
I'm going into your house.
Oh, you're
going
to hang out? Okay, I'll be in here working on this. I'll meet you in there later. It was great talking to you.
It was really great talking to you.
Thanks.
And I love you. I love you on the show.
Oh, thank you. I'm
glad. I love it.
Oh, thank you so much. That's nice.
That's an awesome show.
You want to do a part? Should I drop your name over there?
Who do I fight?
Yeah, I'll go.
I'll fight you.
You should.
Can I fight you?
That would be great. I haven't fought yet. Maybe if we do another season.
I'm just saying.
I'll bring you up to the people. I'll just drop. I'll say, you know, Melissa's kind of.
Throw it around the people. Yeah, just you and I really fighting.
You come in? I wonder if they could write around that.
Oh, my God.
And then they're going to be like, look, Mark, just do your job. You're not part of the production. All right, I'm going to let you go.
Okay, bye. This is great.
That was fun. I love her. Who doesn't love her? How can you not love her? Her new movie, Life of the Party, opens in theaters tomorrow. Oh, music is forthcoming. We'll do it. We'll do it when I get back. I got this classical guitar in here, but I'm not gonna. It seems when I move around in this room, the mic becomes an antenna of some kind and picks up radio stations. So, I'm just going to stay here in the corner where I'm crouched. And, you know. Oh, God. Everything's okay. Boomer lives!
Robinhood bietet Ihnen Zugang zum US-Aktienmarkt. Sie können Krypto zu niedrigen Kosten kaufen und verkaufen. Alles an einem Ort. Auf Robinhood. Investment- und Kryptowertedienstleistungen für EU-Kunden werden von der Robinhood Europe UAB angeboten, die von der Zentralbank Litauens als Finanzmakler und Kryptowertedienstleister zugelassen ist und deren Aufsicht unterliegt. Termingeschäfte auf US-Aktien und ETF-Token bergen ein erhebliches Risiko und sind nicht für alle Anleger geeignet. Bitte überlegen Sie sich sorgfältig, ob Investments in derartige Finanzinstrumente mit Blick auf Ihre Erfahrung, Risikotoleranz und Finanzlage für Sie geeignet sind. Beachten Sie die geltenden Beschränkungen und Zulassungsvoraussetzungen.